broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
Good morning, and let us pray on this Friday of the 13th week of Ordinary Time. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father, amen.
Amen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We are Catholic from the start here on Morning Glory on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is Friday, July 6th, and I'm Tom Price, along with at the studios of Guadalupe Radio in Washington, D.C., Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel is Father Jordan Schmidt from the Dominican House of Studies. He leads us in prayer.
O God, our Father, source of innocence and lover of chastity, you gave Saint Maria Goretti the privilege of offering her life in witness to Christ. As you gave her the crown of martyrdom, let her prayers keep us faithful to your teaching. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Gloria has Mother Angelica's thought for the day.
If I'm not in sanctifying grace and doing the will of God, my mind will be cluttered with somebody or something else. We run around most of the time with cluttered minds. Then when we go to pray, we can't. Well, what were you doing and thinking before your prayer?
Wow.
I know, right?
Good stuff. Uh-huh. And I want to remind everybody that these thoughts for the day are in a wonderful perpetual calendar. It is a desktop sort of a little... kind of a little tent, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great description, a little desktop tent that you can flip over the pages, and you'll have Mother's wise words with you every day.
And it's called perpetual because it's not there's no year to it.
That's right.
So today is July 6th. You're going to see it next July 6th.
That's right. Exactly. The same thoughts on each day, no matter the year.
You can get that from our own EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. It's not very expensive, EWTNRC.com. It's a very important part of our kitchen. In the news on this Friday morning in Colorado, fire officials say it'll probably take several weeks to contain the massive spring fire. Several weeks. The blaze topped 100,000 acres on Thursday. More than 100 homes have been destroyed. Andy and Bill McCauley lost their house in El Jebel, which they lived in for 32 years. The couple said they had about 5 minutes to get out of there.
Got my grandfather's Bibles and a couple of family treasures, and that's it. And our two cats.
Got the cats, got the wife.
That's all we need.
That's pretty much was the important part.
It's just stuff.
That is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, 32 years in the same home, but they've got the right idea about detachment, don't they?
Oh, indeed. To be able to say, you know, got to go. We made it out with our lives.
And it's beautiful. The grandfather's Bible topped the
list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. The spring fire now 35% contained. So let's keep all of them in our prayers. Chinese officials will retaliate against U.S. tariffs that go into effect today. The Trump administration imposing a 25% tariff on $34 billion worth of Chinese imports. China's Commerce Ministry spokesman said they must fight back to protect their own interests. Tariffs on American goods like soybeans and electric cars and whiskey are expected. The very sad news here on this Thai cave situation, a cave rescuer has died from a lack of oxygen. A former Thai Navy SEAL working in a voluntary capacity has died while replacing oxygen canisters. The 38-year-old man passed out while underwater. Efforts to resuscitate him failed. Thai authorities are racing to pump out water from the flooded cave before more rains hit the northern region. In other news, at 4 after the hour, President Trump traveled to Montana on Thursday to rally support for Republican candidates ahead of November's midterm elections. At the rally in Great Falls, the president said ICE will be protected.
We want tough, strong, powerful borders, and we want no crime, and we're going to protect ICE. We protect ICE. They protect us, and we protect them.
HHS Secretary Alex Azar said the department is working to meet the deadline set by a federal judge to reunite all children separated from their parents at the border. A group of bipartisan Michigan lawmakers visited Bethany Christian Services, that's in Grand Rapids, one of the locations where some migrant children are currently housed. Congressman Debbie Dingell was among the lawmakers touring that facility.
I want to keep terrorists out of this country, and I want to keep the MS-13 gang out of this country. But I don't want to lose who the heart of is and lose compassion for people who need help.
They discussed ways in which the children are being cared for and plans for those children to be reunified with their parents. President Trump could select his pick for the Supreme Court as early as today, but he says he will not reveal his choice until Monday. The White House says the president has interviewed at least 7 candidates. 3 of those names are at the top of the list: federal appeals judges Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, and Raymond Kethledge. Judge Raymond Kethledge now serves on the appeals court.
Obviously, first and foremost, I'd follow Supreme Court precedent. The other thing I would say is that, again, I would make sure that the values that I would be enforcing if I were a judge are not just my values, that I am not striking something down simply because I don't like it.
Kethledge is a good friend of Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, and he once wrote about John Paul II. The book is on solitude, including chapters on moral courage and John Paul II. How about that?
All right.
EPA Chief Scott Pruitt has stepped down Thursday after calls from lawmakers on both parties to resign. The president had stood by him, said that he had been a terrific administrator of the EPA. Talking to reporters on his way to the rally in Montana, the president said this was entirely Scott Pruitt's decision to resign. He said he had been talking to him about it for a while, but that it was Pruitt who came to the president and said, "I don't want to be a distraction." And that's sometimes the way it has to work out.
Mm-hmm. God bless him for being able to do that.
Yes, indeed. Pope Francis names the first ever lay person to head a major Vatican office. Pope Francis has tapped Paolo Ruffini to lead the communications for the Vatican. It's part of an ongoing overhaul of the Department for the Holy See. Ruffini has been a journalist for nearly 40 years and has until now worked as the director for the Italian Bishop's television channel. Finally in the news at 7 after the hour, Carlo Acutis, a gifted young man who died of leukemia at the age of 15, is now one of 4 lay people whose heroic virtues were recognized by the Congregation for the Causes of Saints on Thursday. Pope Francis advancing Acutis's case, or his cause now, with the title of Venerable. Exceptionally gifted in working with computers, Acutis developed a website that cataloged Eucharistic miracles. This website was the genesis of the Eucharistic Miracles of the World, which is an international exhibition still in high regard today. Have you ever seen that exhibition?
It's a really huge website, and I know that the miracle hunter, Michael O'Neill, uses it quite a bit.
Wow.
And people are wondering if this does ultimately pass, will we have a patron saint of computer programmers?
Well, we should. We need it. We need something for coders.
The way of the world.
Yeah.
The way of the world. Mm-hmm. And you brought to mind this morning, Elisa, a story about Starbucks. It seems like Starbucks just can't catch a break these days.
Yeah, you know, Starbucks recently had closed their facilities nationwide. I think it was 800 stores to teach their employees about racial bias, racial training. Just recently this week in Philadelphia, an employee, I believe now, is fired because when a man who was ordering a coffee had stuttered, and the employee barista took it upon himself to say his name back with a stutter, writing it out on a cup in stutter form. The customer really took offense to it. And I can't imagine, you know, your first, you know, how much money are you spending on a latte to then get an insult in return is pretty baffling.
Yeah. It just shows that maybe, you know, people still don't know what it is to have respect for the human person and differences. And but I guess they had the right response in deciding that, you know what, we've had these trainings. You're obviously not getting the big picture and, you know, getting rid of that barista. That's got to be tough. But, you know, one of the things that I was learning, I like to learn new words. And I had come across this word called interrobang. Have you ever heard that word before?
That's a new one on me.
So, and tarabang is a means a question mark with an exclamation point. Now, in some cases, you write the question mark and put the exclamation point on top of it, or I don't know if you write the exclamation and write it all on top of each other, or you can put the question mark first and then the exclamation point. But anyway, it's supposed to be what you put when you ask a question in an excited manner. So I guess, did you win the numbers? Did you hit the lottery?
Okay.
You put an interrobang, but they say it's non-standard punctuation. So in other words, don't use it on your English papers that you're turning in, kids. But somehow that's something now that people are using. I mean, I think they even have an emoji for that, an interrobang, the question mark with the exclamation point.
5 years.
And the little
I give
symbols.
It 5 years. It'll either be totally gone or it'll be every day, you know, part of our lexicon.
You know, just like emoji, I guess, you know, we have all these words that, you know, probably my grandmother's generation would be like, what are you talking about? Actually, my parents would be like, what are you talking about?
I remember when emoji was emoticon.
Yeah, I remember emoticon.
And we didn't even have emoji yet. And sure. I ultimately think you actually, when it's a situation of an exclamation point and a question mark, you actually just put the exclamation point.
Well, this is...
So now this is basically tying the two together and giving it some weight with a name.
Like how you ask a question in an excited manner. I was like, well, just put the question mark. Well, no, it's a question. Whoever's, you know, saying it can say, you know, if you're writing a story, he asked the question excitedly. But it's still, you know, a question mark. But interesting enough, though.
You know, one of the saints that I really look up to is Saint Maria Goretti, and today is her feast day. I believe it's an optional feast day. And Father, I know that you're going to be talking about her coming up in our segment, but I think there's so much to learn from her life, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, for some women, I remember hearing that, oh, why they always talked to us about St. Maria Goretti. So believe it or not, there's some women that were bothered by her story. They were like, yeah, they were like, because she died. And so, Father, I hope you can address that point of it, too. But like their argument was, why was it noble that she died in fighting off her assailant? And people had sort of problems with that. That's what I've heard. But I think her story is so beautiful, especially what happens with her assailant, his eventual, I don't want to give too much away. I'm sure people might already know this, but his eventual change. So, but St. Maria Goretti, you know, the other young saint, I can see, St. Philomena, I love them. I love them. I love their stories. And it's, to me, about having courage in the face of, you know, what seems like an overpowering evil that might be stronger than you physically.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reminded of so many who have given up their life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ultimate sacrifice that we can give up. And so, I don't know. It's a lot to be thankful for when we have these saints as holy heroes is the way I think of them.
Holy heroes. I like that. Holy heroes. Yeah, that's exactly what they are. That's exactly how we should look at the saints. They are holy heroes that lived. And their stories, their lives, to me, have always something that maybe we could learn from. But
so Father, I want to ask you before we go to break, did you get a parking spot? I'm looking at our notes here. There's something about a parking spot on the Key Bridge. What's that all about?
Well, it's a little tradition here in the district that there's a bridge that connects, I guess it's Alexandria to, is that right, Alexandria to
yes.
Georgetown. And so it's an interesting thing that when the fireworks start here on the 4th of July, if at the exact moment that the fireworks start, everyone stops their cars on the Key Bridge, gets out, and just looks at the fireworks, and then they get back in their cars and start driving again.
Laws cease.
Yes.
Cops will
not bother you. And so, yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's just like this kind of custom here. And so you have to be on the bridge exactly at the moment that they start, and then you get to do that. But no, I did not get a parking spot on the Key Bridge. It was too hot for me to go outside.
Next year, Father. Next year.
You tried.
Yes,
well, talking about being too hot to go outside, if you're going outside in Virginia and you're going hiking, beware of hogweed. It can cause burns and blindness.
Ooh.
So avoid that. Well, I am happy to say we're going to finish up our three-part series today with Sam Meyer from the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. We're talking about overcoming addiction to pornography, and we'll be talking about the outer circle, the tendency to help us get away from it. So stay tuned next on Morning Glory.
Start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for Wings, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the Wings link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your wings today.
Scripture and Tradition with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Is there anything in the tradition that is not found in the Scripture? And I said, yes. The table of contents. No book of the Bible writes down which books belong in the Bible. You only know it from the oral tradition from the apostles.
Scripture and Tradition with Father Mitch Pacwa. Tuesday, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two time, three time, four time, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? My Lord said, no. 70 times, 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
And Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
Blessed to Play, you can catch it this Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today is Friday, July 6, 2018. It's the memorial of St. Maria Goretti. I'm Gloria Purvis, joined by Tom Price.
Morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel today is Father Jordan Schmidt. We are lucky to be able to do a three-part series with Sam Meyer of the My House Initiative of the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. Today is the final in this three-part series. We're looking at how to overcome pornography addiction. And so in this final piece, we're going to talk about looking at healthy behaviors. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, Gloria. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad that you were able to do this three-part series with us, to be here every Friday to talk about overcoming pornography addiction. And today we're at the outer circle, as we call it, where we look at healthy behaviors. Would you mind, just for our listeners, to be able to go through the first circle and the second circle, just a brief overview, then we can delve into this final circle?
You bet. Yeah. So a quick overview, the three circles. You have the middle circle, which is kind of the grave sin, the pornography, masturbation, sexual contact outside of marriage. Outside of that, we call that the middle circle, the kind of the second circle, you could say. And those are kind of the slippery slope behaviors. So image searches, going to bed after your spouse. We talked about halts last week, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, stressed. So those are the occasions that lead up to the more grave sins. But then on the outer circle, this is the really exciting, really positive part of the game plan that I really like to talk to men about. And it's good to see men coming alive as they put these in practice. And these are the healthy behaviors that really safeguard people from struggling, you know, with the forms of sin. So, you know, a lot of these involve different forms of prayer. A lot of these involve accountability. Let me just go through a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having accountability groups or 12-step meetings is really important. Having phone calls, you know, daily phone calls for men who are addicted to pornography or women who are addicted to people in their accountability group is a really important thing. Having counseling, you know, ongoing counseling is really important. Having solid sleep and just good balance in life. Certainly with prayer, you know, having regular prayer time, you know, living a sacramental life through confession and, you know, the Eucharist, and having a very good game plan spiritually. I think also socially, just having time with friends and family, you know, having time for hobbies, you know, all these things are really important, right, to keep some of the bad habits and the lust out of one's life.
Can you
but
go back?
What I often find, Gloria, is that as men and, you know, people struggle, you know, there's women that struggle with this device as well, but as people put in this third circle and really have accountability and support around this area, they notice there's a lot less struggles with sin and with lust.
So I'm interested in the 12-step meetings. How, you know, we hear about Alcoholics Anonymous, you hear about Narcotics Anonymous. Is it what? Where can they find a 12-step meeting or in their area dealing with pornography addiction? Or does it have to be dealing with pornography addiction? I'm just interested, how would anybody find a 12-step meeting on this?
Absolutely. You know, in most large cities in the U.S., there are what's called SA groups, so Sexaholics Anonymous. Mm. It's very similar to Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's certainly a good support in most cities, you know, most larger cities. We also have a lot of SA phone meetings that we recommend to people who might be from smaller communities. And SA tends to be pretty in line with Catholicism and Christianity when it comes to just sexual morality and sobriety. There's also, you know, there's some Catholic support groups that are out there in certain dioceses for accountability. Mm. There's different Christian, you know, groups that are out there too. But yeah, certainly SA is probably one that for most of our listeners in large cities is pretty easy to find.
Sam, I have a question, and this is something, you know, your list is fantastic. And I think one thing that people might be surprised with, maybe a little raised eyebrow on this, is really getting a good night's sleep. How mm-hmm. important is that?
Absolutely. You know, I went to a training recently just on the benefits of sleep, the necessity of sleep, I should say. And yeah, you know, it really helps with overall balance in life. Also, you know, from a psychological perspective, when people get 7 hours of sleep or more, they're more calm, they have more joy in life. If they're getting less than that, their memory's impacted, they tend to be more agitated, more, you know, just angry throughout the day. So, yeah, mm-hmm. sleep is very important, just an overall freedom from this, but also just balance in life, certainly.
One other thing you mentioned was hobbies. Can you, I mean, is it a particular type of hobby? I'm imagining maybe video gaming wouldn't be one, but maybe it is. But I was thinking things like if you're good at building stuff or fishing or those kinds of things that you like to do, that people would like to do. Are there specific types of hobbies that are better than others? Or?
Yeah, good question. You know, I have heard from men, you know, certainly things like guitar playing, outdoors, woodworking, things where they're sometimes even hanging out with others, you know, like music. Yeah, things like video games might not be as good because you're still getting a lot of dopamine release in the brain.
Right.
But yeah, having that fellowship with other people and some of the hobbies too can be really important. And it's all I can say, guys, it's fun to see people coming alive with this. When we're at the My House workshop, we have the men kind of put all this on paper, and you just see the joy that starts to come, you know, and the smile that comes on their face. And we try to just give them the notion that, hey, guys, you don't have to do these things. You get to do these things. You get to live a better life. You get to take care of yourselves. You get to have a lot more joy, a lot more happiness. So this is one of those big game plans when we're at the workshop that men walk away with, and it's just great to see.
Can you talk about family time? What does that look like? Does it have to be just playing games with the kids? Is it sitting down reading a book together? What do you have in mind when you're talking about family time?
Yeah, I think, you know, time away from screens, right, whether that's sitting, you know, reading a book, playing a board game, you know, dinner without distractions and TVs on, right, but time to really connect and to really, you know, look at each other's eyes and just to, yeah, have that joyful connection.
So it seems to me like
it
seems like a lot of the things that keep people staying in sobriety, if you will, if we can use that term, is really just having an authentic connection with another human person.
Right, absolutely. You know, in the 12-step literature, they speak about the importance of connection with God and connection with others. And yeah, that's really essential, you know. And I mean, just to connect on something we do at the My House Workshop, Gloria, we really try in those 3 days to foster those relationships between the men. You know, in terms of accountability, too, we have a follow-up conference call for the men after they leave the workshop. So once a month, we get together on Zoom with them, and, you know, we have them, you know, just continue that brotherhood. And regardless of where they are in the U.S., you know, it's nice for them to come back together. Yeah. But it's been good. You know, we started this at our last workshop, and all the men have found a group in their area, and they've all been, you know, staying connected in that follow-up group with the workshop, too. So,
well, this is excellent. This is excellent. I just want to add the other things. Of course, regular confession prayer time, and then there's also the Covenant Eyes software. You can look that up online, do an internet search. If you're interested in finding out more about this wonderful initiative through the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, please visit Sam Meyer. You can go online to archkck.org/myhouse. Thank you so much, Sam Meyer, for joining Morning Glory today.
Thank you, Gloria. Appreciate
awesome.
It.
Take care.
Appreciate it, Sam. 25 after the hour, just ahead of Father Jordan Schmidt, who will be talking about St. Maria Goretti. Let's bring on Catholic Chatter with Elisa Murphy.
We've heard from Mike this morning, who says some mothers in his community are banding together to work with the school system to make sure the problem of pornography isn't running rampant on campuses. And many of our listeners have been asking, where in the world is Brian Patrick, Marcy, Patty, Lois, just to name a few. Just so you know, listeners, Brian is taking some time off for the summer months, so please keep him in your prayers.
Absolutely. Hey, Father Jordan Schmidt is our godly counsel today with the Dominican House of Studies with his take on St. Maria Goretti. Father?
Yeah, so just to, you know, give a quick summary of her life, you know, she was born in southern Italy of a sharecropping family in 1890. And when she was just 12 years old, there was another sharecropper whose name was Alessandro Serinelli, who attempted repeatedly to seduce her. And there was one occasion on which they were alone in her kitchen. And when she refused his advances, he even tried to rape her. And it was then that she said she would rather die than be raped because of she valued her purity so much. And so Alessandro then stabbed her 14 times, and she survived long enough to be taken to the hospital, where she eventually died after surgery from the attack. She's considered a martyr because she did fight against Alessandro's attempts at sexual sin. But perhaps even more important than that was that she had this intense depth of mercy in her life. She forgave her attacker. Her last words were, "I forgive Alessandro Serinelli, and I want him with me in heaven forever." Mm. And so she was truly a heroic example of mercy that our Lord always calls his apostles to in the Gospels, and asking that to us to pray for even our enemies. And her mercy, her story didn't end there. Her mercy ended up working a great miracle in Alessandro's life, because after going to prison for his crime, he eventually had this dream where Maria gave him a bouquet of lilies. But when he touched them, they burst into flames right when he touched them. And so he understood that he was in peril, and he became converted through that experience, and eventually became a Franciscan friar, where he worked as a gardener for the rest of his life. So on this feast day, I think we should all take a cue from Maria Goretti, noting that we are to be merciful even by forgiving our enemies, even in this intense and difficult way.
Thank you, Father. Coming up next, News of the Day and Hannah Brockhaus of the Catholic News Agency talking about the Holy Father's weekend trip to
Catholic
southern Italy.
From the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Teresa Tamio.
It's our goal to help each and every listener take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just finished speaking with Father Terrence P. Ehrman about his book, Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, published by our good friends at Catholic Answers. Now tell us, what is this book about?
This book is about how to become, as the title says, a man of God, how to be holy, how to grow, particularly for those who struggle with chastity and lust and pornography and those types of issues. It's how to form an identity that's rooted in Christ through prayer, the sacraments, relationship with the church and the community of the saints, how to grow and ascend the heights of personhood, mm-hmm. right? How to be able to be who you are and encounter another from that deepest core of who you are, to encounter another person heart to heart.
Very good. Thank you so much, Father. Man of God is the book, and the author is Father Terrence P. Ehrman, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, published by our friends at Catholic Answers, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. And this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief. Thanks.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
The EWTN Warriors Rosary is a fitting tribute to all the spiritual warriors who have stood by us over the years. Handcrafted, each rosary is a unique creation. Get yours today. Visit EWTNRC.com.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Later today on Catholic Answers Live, Trent Horn is with us, and he'll ask, why aren't you Catholic? Catholic Answers Live, 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now back to Morning Glory.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
And welcome back. It is half past the hour. This is Tom Price here on Morning Glory on EWTN Radio on this Friday morning, July 6th. We are joined by Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Also in Washington, D.C., Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel is Father Jordan Schmidt. He leads us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, source of innocence and lover of chastity, you gave St. Maria Goretti the privilege of offering her life in witness to Christ. As you gave her the crown of martyrdom, let her prayers keep us faithful to your teaching. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Gloria, you have a musing coming up in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, you know, I've read this book called Surprised by Truth. I will call my musing Surprised by Crime. So we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay, very good. In the news, officials in Arizona giving an update Thursday on the elderly woman accused of fatally shooting her son who wanted to put her in a nursing home. 92-year-old Anna Mae Blessing, charged with first-degree murder, aggravated assault, and kidnapping, is currently in the infirmary of the Maricopa County Jail. Sheriff Paul Penzone said deputies had been called to the home before to investigate domestic disputes and potential threats. His office currently reviewing if anything could have been done to prevent that crime, but he adds he believes there are often unrealistic expectations on law enforcement.
We are not mental health professionals. We are not drug addiction recovery professionals. We are not counselors. We are not social workers. Yet the majority of our calls involve this type of education or experience to resolve challenges.
Very tough work for law enforcement. The sheriff adding more needs to be done to ensure other resources beyond law enforcement are available for situations like these. President Trump rallied supporters in Montana yesterday at an event in Great Falls. The president also endorsed GOP candidates ahead of the midterm elections coming up in November. At the event, Trump called on voters to retire Democratic Senator John Tester by voting for Republican candidate Matt Rosendale.
You deserve a senator who doesn't just talk like he's from Montana. You deserve a senator who actually votes like he's from Montana.
Rosendale has been endorsed by the Susan B. Anthony List. The organization previously has launched a hard-hitting digital ad campaign to expose Senator Tester's extremist views on abortion after he voted against the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. Known as MICA's Law, this popular legislation would protect unborn children from late-term abortion after 5 months of pregnancy. The head of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity says the Holy Father's trip to southern Italy this weekend will focus on uniting different worlds of faith. Cardinal Kurt Cook says the Middle East is the origin of Christianity, and the trip is a unique opportunity for Christian unity. For more on the Holy Father's trip to Bari, we're going now to Rome with Hannah Brockhaus of the Catholic News Agency. So for you, it is good afternoon, Hannah.
That's right. Hello.
Yeah, you're at what time now? About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:30, something like that?
It's 1:30, that's right.
So this is a very interesting thing to me. It's a meeting all about the Middle East, but it's being held in southern Italy. Why is that?
Well, the Pope is holding this meeting for prayer and for religious peace and dialogue in Bari, partly because of Bari's historical roots of connection between both the Catholic and the Orthodox churches.
Okay.
Because there are relics of St. Nicholas there in the Basilica of St. Nicholas, it is a very popular place of pilgrimage for both Catholics and for Orthodox.
And now you mentioned Christian unity, so this is not just a Catholic thing, right?
That's right. The Archbishop of Bari has mentioned the ecumenical note in the fact that all of these leaders or representatives of the different churches, we have Eastern Catholic, We have Eastern Orthodox and Russian Orthodox all represented, as well as the Lutheran Church in Jordan. And they will all be there together to pray together for peace in the Middle East.
And this is sort of an unprecedented thing, right?
Well, Pope Francis definitely has held events like this. He does enjoy meeting with the other patriarchs, and they enjoy good relationships, and they have prayed before. But certainly the number of representatives that will be there, I think, is something new.
Hannah, with so many different representatives from different faiths being there, I mean, how long is the Holy Father going to stay there?
He'll just be there for the morning and the first part of the afternoon on Saturday. It won't be long. The main event will be a prayer service held at the beachfront on Bari. Bari is on the coast of Italy. And so they will have prayers, hymns, gospel readings. And a really interesting part of that is that they will do all of this in the various languages of the leaders. So French, Italian, and English will be used, but also Greek, Arabic, and Assyrian.
And CNA is going to be covering this, right?
That's correct. We have a couple of our Italian colleagues from our Italian agency that are down there in Bari, and CNA will be covering as well.
So to follow everything going on there in Bari, do go to CatholicNewsAgency.com, CatholicNewsAgency.com. Hey, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. God bless you.
Thank you. Elsewhere in the news, at 36 after the hour, more than 20 people have died. Dozens more are still missing after a passenger boat capsized off the holiday island of Phuket in Thailand. The Phoenix had 105 people on board, mainly Chinese tourists. That boat went down in stormy weather yesterday afternoon. The Royal Thai Navy putting the current death toll at 27. Wow. I mean, first all the children stranded, mm-hmm. and now this.
I mean, it's really a good reminder to us, number one, of how dangerous diving is, particularly in caves where people can get stuck in the narrow ways and not be able to get out in time to get air, but also just running out of air. That's a danger of diving. And mm-hmm. that these people, so many people, are willing to take that risk to save these children. So let's keep them all in prayer.
Absolutely. This weekend on EWTN's Pro-Life Update, we're going to bring you a beautiful story of forgiveness and love. Jennifer Christie opens up about why she chose life for her son even after she was a victim of a rape.
And I remember thinking, okay, I couldn't protect myself. You know, I fought and I tried, but there was nothing I could do, but I could protect that baby. And it was my baby.
Catch Catherine Hedro's interview with Jennifer Christie. That'll be Sunday morning here on EWTN Radio, 10 a.m. Eastern, for Pro-Life Weekly, a wonderful, wonderful program. Mm-hmm. Finally in the news, for the first time, the U.K., this is amazing, the U.K. now has an office specifically dedicated to promoting religious freedom. Lord Tariq Mahmoud Ahmad, Minister of State for the Commonwealth and the United Nations, was selected as, quote, special envoy on freedom of religion. In this role, Ahmad will promote the UK's firm stance on religious tolerance abroad, helping to tackle religious discrimination in countries where minority faith groups face persecution. This sounds to me like good news.
It is, and I hope they start to, extend that to the Christians in their country, because a lot of times Christians who are involved in foster care or adoption over there are excluded. So I'm hoping this is a good sign for them abroad, and they'll start looking inward as well.
Absolutely. 38 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Morning Glory here on EWTN. Time now for Morning Glory's Musing.
You know, when I first moved to D.C., I was just in love with the Capitol area. I thought those row houses were so gorgeous. I loved that some of the sidewalks were made out of brick. They had just the old red brick as sidewalks. And I thought, oh, this is so beautiful. And when I would tell people that I like to walk around Capitol Hill and look at the houses around there in the southeast area, Capitol Hill, people were like, are you nuts? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, that area is dangerous. And I was like, what? I was like, the houses are beautiful. The trees are nice. Everything's well. What do you mean it's dangerous? They were like, it's high crime. Don't go over there by yourself. So I was like, oh, okay. So then I'd go over in the DuPont Circle area when I first moved to D.C., And, you know, they have the fountains and the nice little park things that you can just walk around. People are like, don't go over there. It's dangerous there, too. And I was like, what? What do you mean? It's so pretty. It's this, it's that. And they were like, it's dangerous. It's D.C. And I was like, how can it be, you know, so dangerous? You know, I had this sort of idea about what a high crime area would look like. And it didn't look like those parts of D.C. to me, because the houses were well kept. The lawns were manicured. There was no, like, just trash hanging out on the street. But it was a dangerous area. And I came to realize that I was just simply naive. I had a notion of what an area that would be high crime looks like. And what I've come to discover is an area is prone to crime when there are people there. I mean, that's just it. It's prone to crime when there are people there. And it made me start to think about the spiritual life. Am I naive in my spiritual life? Like, I know situations that I need to avoid. And I remember talking with someone that's like, oh, yeah, I've conquered venial sin. That's no longer a problem for me. And I just thought, really? So they sort of were talking about it in a way that these other things that used to cause them to fall is no longer an issue for them. But I thought, you still should avoid them, because you knew it was an area of weakness for you. And to me, it was, I don't want to say pride, but I think he's a little too self-assured about always being able to conquer that sin. And I thought, you know, I don't want to have that kind of spiritual naivete. I need to recognize that I am weak and I have certain proclivities towards certain sins. And with that sobriety, if you will, I know to avoid certain places, people, occasions, all those kinds of things that would cause me to fall into that sin. And I realized that just as I am alert about crime in the physical world, I need to be alert about my own tendency toward sinfulness, toward committing sins. And I need to have that kind of sobriety, if you will, that alertness, that awakeness, that awareness of my own weaknesses, and not being naive enough to think that, oh, yeah, that'll never be a problem for me again. Well, you know, no, I need to be just as careful and prudent about those things that I know are a weakness for me. Because we do say in this, after we say our prayers, when you say your, what do you call it, the when you're saying you're sorry to the Lord.
Act of contrition.
Act of contrition. Thank you, Tom. You do say to avoid those, the near occasion of sin. So don't be spiritually naive. Be just as aware in trying to guard yourself from falling into sin as you would be from trying to avoid crime in a high crime neighborhood.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And Father, I'm sure you run into this all the time when you find that people are confessing the same things over and over again. I know I'm always disgusted with myself when I find myself confessing the same two or three sins.
Well, yeah, one of the things that Gloria was saying here, and then she kind of picked it up at the end there with the key word being prudence, you know, that mm-hmm. this is one of the great virtues, one of the four cardinal and moral virtues. You know, this is the charioteer of all virtues. It's knowing what the right thing to do is and then actually doing it. And it draws on one's experience. It draws on one's, understanding and of the situation and so forth. And it is the sin or the virtue that combats sin in our life, because it is that virtue that allows us and helps us, gives us the strength to always be on the lookout for these occasions of sin and to actually avoid them. And there's a great quote, in my mind, I'm attributing it to Einstein, who said that one definition of insanity is doing the same thing over but expecting the different results.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So this is one of these things, as you bring up in the confessional, this is one of these things that's a good piece of advice for every one of us, which is that, you know, so often, you know, when we fall into the same kinds of sin, if we really reflect on it, what we've done is we've, you know, gone from confession and gone right back and done the same things that we were doing last week before we went to confession. So, you know, it's a matter of doing everything the same, but then expecting that you're going to have a different result, that you're going to be able to say, no, this time I'm not going to sin that way, even though I'm doing everything else the same.
Mm.
You know, so this is, a good analogy here is just, you know, say, if you, with Gloria's musing, you know, if you know that, you know, that there is a, you get mugged, say, one day in Capitol Hill or Southeast, you know, today would be like more Southeast or whatever, but, you know, you get mugged and then you say, okay, I'm never going to get mugged again. But then, you know, you go and you do the same thing, you know, you go at 9 o'clock at night to this area that you know is bad. You know, you're just not being prudent. Mm. And that's the key word, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, our good friend Father Thomas Morrow is on coming up next, out with a brand new book called Lives of Amazing Saints. We're going to discuss it next right here on Morning Glory. Do stay with us.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. Raymond Arroyo.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this enterprise. She saw this as a holistic approach, reaching the whole person, bringing them truth and life.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mother Angelica said that the essence of evangelization is to tell everyone that Jesus loves you. Matt Frad says that it is one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Are we so full of the things of the world that we can't hear or receive the gifts that God is giving to us? In Isaiah, we hear, "The Lord delights in you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my eyes, and I love you." Well, we often don't want to hear that, and in the Gospel of Matthew, it hits us over the head even more that we're invited to be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is king, and he's come to establish his kingdom. The Beatitudes are the eight roads to God. They lead us with his gifts of the Holy Spirit to become the new person in Christ who will find happiness and bring that happiness to others. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dan Burke from the National Catholic Register.
Hello, this is Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
46 after the hour, I'll tell you something else that I value. It is the EWTN app, and you can carry EWTN with you everywhere you go when you download this wonderful free app. Enjoy EWTN live TV and radio streams, audio and video on demand, EWTN news, program schedules, prayers, devotionals. It is all there, and it is free. Download the EWTN app today by going to EWTNapps.com, EWTNapps.com. We are joined this morning by Father Jordan Schmidt. Father?
Yeah, today we have with us Father Thomas Morrow, and we're going to talk a little bit with him about his book, Lives of Amazing Saints. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, very good. Good. Just to kick things off, I was wondering, why did you choose these six saints? Why was there something amongst them that you saw as a point of commonality? And what do you, you know, what would you say is the string that kind of ties these six saints together?
Well, they were all quite amazing, and they're not necessarily saints that we can imitate completely in the things they did, because they did extraordinary things, but they're very inspiring. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them were Reformed sinners, so it's fascinating to read about them and discover how they reformed their lives and became so holy.
One of the saints in particular that you had is Blessed Miguel Pro, and he was, of course, this Mexican saint who lived in he was born in Guadalupe. Is that right?
In Mexico, yeah.
Okay. So was there something in particular that jumped out at you about his life? And I thought maybe you could tell something, a couple lessons for our audience, just because he is a North American saint, maybe a little bit closer to home and in time and place.
Yeah, well, he was serving as a Jesuit in Mexico in the 1920s. And in Mexico at that time, the Catholic faith was outlawed, and if you were a priest, you weren't even allowed to wear clerical garb. And so he always had different disguises that he had to get around, and he would go from place to place and perform weddings and baptisms and celebrate Mass. And he was always one step ahead of the law, so to speak. And he was a lot of fun. He had a great sense of humor. And he was always full of joy. And what happened was somebody tried to kill the former president, who was planning to be the future president, Obregon, and they threw a bomb into his car. Well, it didn't work, didn't go off, but they rounded up people to accuse them of this crime, and they rounded up Miguel Pro, Father Miguel Pro, and his brother on trumped-up charges. I mean, Obregon wanted them to be released because he knew that they didn't do anything. But Calles was the president, and he had been trying to capture Miguel Pro for quite a while, perhaps over a year. And so he brought them in, and he made sure that Miguel faced the firing squad. Well, in Mexico, it was illegal to show any religious fervor publicly, but when they had the funeral procession of Father Pro, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people came out and lined the streets and cheered for him and prayed for him in a public display of religion. And the Mexican authorities really couldn't do anything because they couldn't arrest hundreds of thousands of people.
One of the things that I remember looking at through your book, Father, was when Miguel Pro was coming back from a hunting party and he got trapped on railroad tracks, and that started like a more, I would say, intense relationship with the Blessed Mother. Could you tell that little story real briefly?
Say that again. I'm
the one where Miguel Pro is coming back from a hunting party and he takes a shortcut along the railroad tracks and then he tripped and got caught. And could you, for our listeners, tell him that little, that short little story, because how it sort of made him more devoted to the Blessed Mother?
Yeah, because they were told not to walk so close to the tracks. And this train came by and it had molten iron in it. It was on its way somewhere to be cast into different shapes, and so they were walking away from the tracks, and the train came along and it stopped right there, and the guy who was in charge of it tried to balance it or get it straight. And when he did so, the thing fell over and burned him to death. And Miguel and his sister, they said, "Well, that's a good thing we're obedient." And they thanked the Blessed Mother for protecting them from that terrible molten iron.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of wonderful saints here. Of course, my favorite, Saint Teresa of Avila. Just so many nice reminders about her childhood. And one in particular that I thought might be interesting to our listeners is how the saint had all this devotion at age 7, but then she was introduced to romance novels and also the influence of a cousin that sort of turned her to more worldly things. And I thought, that's exactly what we need to be careful of with our teenagers, is to make sure they have good friends and good habits. Could you talk a little bit more about, say, Teresa of Avila? Perhaps there's a particular story of hers in there that you found interesting that you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, she became kind of worldly when she read all these novels, and eventually she moved on to read more about the saints. And in fact, if you look at the saints, almost all the saints read the lives of the saints before that came before them. Well, Teresa of Avila was a lot of fun. When they founded convents, they would go, and the priest would tell them, "Oh, this is a lovely place. You're going to really like it." And when they got there, it was a dump. And so they had to work all night sweeping and cleaning so they could have Mass the next morning, the first opening Mass. And she and her sisters used to laugh about it. And they were always, you know, enjoying life, even though she could be very, very strong. And she said, "Where there's no obedience, there are no nuns."
Yeah.
Deliver me
quote.
From gloomy nuns.
That's a great
And she
quote.
Was so obedient that the Lord told her once, "I want you to found a house, your next house, in Madrid." And her spiritual director said, she asked him, and he said, "I want you to found the next house in Seville." So she found the next house in Seville. And she was talking to her spiritual director later, and she told him what happened. And he said, "Well, why didn't you found it in Madrid? The Lord told you to go to Madrid." She said, "I can never be sure that I have not introduced some subjective ideas in my visions, but I can always be sure that you're my spiritual director and God wants me to follow you." So, and the Lord appeared to her later and said, "You did the right thing. Follow your spiritual director."
Okay, that's beautiful. So the book is Lives of Amazing Saints. Thank you for being with us this morning, Father Morrow. It was great to have you. Thanks for talking.
Thank you so much. Father. It is 5 minutes till the top of the hour, and we're going to go to Father Jordan Schmidt right now for a look at today's gospel.
In the gospel this morning, in his interaction with these passersby, Jesus says, "Go and learn the meaning of these words, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice.'" And there he's quoting the book of Amos, and he does that in order to show that there is this inseparable connection between fidelity to God and being merciful. And that's one thing that we've seen and we celebrate in a particular way today with Maria Goretti. Being merciful is a truly essential part of who we are as Catholics.
Any quick Catholic chatter there, Elisa?
We did hear from Loretta, who absolutely loved, Father, your reflection on St. Maria Goretti today.
Beautiful. All right. And Gloria, who's on tomorrow's program?
Well, on Monday, I think we're going to have your better half. Your wife, Adrienne Price, will be joining us on Monday.
We're going to be kicking off a Sacred Music Summer Series on Monday. And yes, Adrienne will be along, Tom.
Fantastic. And please join us on Monday. Until then, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Amen.
We will see you on Monday on EWTN Radio's Morning Glory. On behalf of the whole crew, I'm Tom Price. You have yourselves a blessed weekend. See you on Monday. Bye.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.